That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Please have a seat.
Well, Pastor Daniel is on a much needed, much deserved vacation. They happen to be at Fort Lauderdale at a place where they can, has been afforded to them and generously given to them to stay. And they're going to be spending the next 2 weeks down there. And we are so glad that they're able to rest. Daniel and I spoke on the phone. I called him and he answered right away. And I said, I'm calling so you can rest. I got this covered, a certain situation that took place. And I said, I got it covered. I said, okay, I was wondering if I needed to come back and do that. So we're just making him sure that he's resting. And that's what we want to accomplish. So if you have his number, forget it. Text Blaine or somebody. So I'm Scott Thomas, the associate pastor here. And I'm glad to walk with you through Matthew 13. National Geographic ran an article recently, and we had an archaeological site near Herod's temple in the Holy Land, and they found a seed, and this seed was preserved in a clay pot that was dated, carbon dated, 2,000 years old. And it sat untouched for years, but the scientists wondered, well, what do we do with this? And so they decided to plant it. 2,000-year-old seed, they decided to plant it, and they planted this thing, and it sprouted up, and it became this Judean date palm, which is now 10 feet tall, and I got a picture of it here. This is now, they call it Methuselah, the oldest living being that there is, and so it still continues to grow this day, and they found other seeds that they want to grow. This one happens to be male. I don't know how you tell, but this one is male. And then they're trying to create a female one as well. I've always found seeds to be interesting. I just found them to be interesting. Just one of those unique things. As a kid, I would plant things in a garden. It was a young boy and grow up things, radishes, which I don't like, but they're easy to grow, and other kind of things. We do carrots. I did potatoes one time and placed them in the ground. And, you know, it's exciting to see what doesn't look anything like what the plant will be, and yet you can place it in the ground, and it grows into this beautiful thing. I secretly planted wildflowers when we were living in Seattle. The climate was just right for some wildflowers, and I had a little spot there that wouldn't grow much anything, and so I planted wildflowers there, didn't tell Jeannie, and then I was like, where did these come from? And go like this. I planted those in there, and they became something beautiful. And as amazed as we are at the seed that becomes even like the Methuselah, I'm even more amazed that God can take the seed of his word and plant it into our hearts, and it turns into something beautiful. He can transform it. He can transform you. He can transform me. That's what this is about. And so we're going to explore this first parable. This is the very first parable that Jesus spoke. And parables are simply pictures of what it would be like. The word parable is like parabolo, two words, parabolo. Para is like next to, you know, like parallel parking, right? That some people can do, and some people it's amusing to watch them do. But the parallel parking, so it's something that runs alongside it, but isn't it. So parabolo means to throw. So it means to throw something down beside something so that you understand it. When I talk to young men, sometimes I said, you know, like some basketball player or some football player or something, you know, to kind of compare what it would be like, and they go, oh, I get it now. So that's what Jesus is trying to do. He's speaking these parables. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it all tells this story of what is commonly called the parable of the sower. It might even be on the top of your Bible there. It says parable of the sower. It's actually the parable, I think, and believe, and others do as well. It's a parable of the soil. It's the soil. It's not the, it has nothing to do with the sower, nothing to do with the seed. The seed is the same. The sower is the same. It's the soil, and the soil is your heart. What condition is it in? And that's what this is all about. And that's the main point that I want to get. In fact, I just kind of placed here is a main idea is the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a life-giving seed that can transform your heart. So the seed can transform your heart and it can create and produce spiritual growth. However, this is the big however. However, it depends on how open your heart is, which is made possible by the work of Jesus in your life and the Spirit of God working in you. So you don't have to strain at this and go like, I can't do this. You have to allow it. You allow it to be implanted within you. C.H. Spurgeon said this, Prince of Preachers. He said, the gospel is preached in the ears of all. It only comes with power to some. The power of the gospel lies in the Spirit of God working through the Word of God to change hearts. And that's the reason we emphasize the Word of God here at Movement Church. We can be an entertaining church. We can be a program-driven church. We can be all kinds of things. We believe we want to be a Word-centered, Jesus-exalting place where the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that changes your life. It's not the entertainment. It's not some program. It's going to be the Word of God that changes your life. All we have access to everything else in this world. We need to take priority to the Word of God in our life. So this parable speaks to all of us. But listen, I want to speak a few times to men specifically. And I want to do that because as husbands, fathers, providers, leaders, we face pressures in our life. And interestingly, I found this is very interesting, that non-denominational churches are made up of 65% women, 35% men, excuse me. And the more conservative theologically that a church is, the more likely men will attend. Isn't that interesting? It's like, we want the Word of God. Give us the Word of God. And churches that are Reformed Baptists like this is, there's about 50-50, which is the way it should be. So I want to speak to you. I'm going to ask your permission. I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm going to ask your permission to speak to you. And I just felt last week when I was sitting here, I'm going like, the Lord is like, speak to the men directly. And I don't mean that to say, okay, girls, you just like, okay, forget it. We're out checking out. I'm saying I want to lean in on the guys just a little bit. So this is a call today for you men to say no more. We possess, men, the male species, possess a pride within us that says, I got this. I can do this. I don't need anybody else. We also get so busy in what we're doing, our work, that we just don't have time. Or we're so entangled with other things, other vulnerabilities and other sins in our life. We're so entangled that it chokes it out. Men, today's the day we just say no more. I'm going to let the Word of God into my heart. I'm going to allow it into me. And Jesus explains this parable. It's the one parable that he gave that said, the disciples are going like, well, I don't get it. Can you explain it? And he tells, and we'll talk about it. The first thing we're going to look at is the good news. The gospel is good news that can change your life. And this is the seed. The sower went out to sow a seed. And Jesus is both the sower and he is the seed. And the gospel is the good news that can change your life. Can change your life if you allow it into your life. Jesus begins, verse 3, it says that sower went to sow. Verse 19 says the seed is the word of the kingdom. And this good news is that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, became flesh, lived a sinful life, died on the cross for our sins, was resurrected, and he is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance, a turning of their life, turning back. John Piper preached a sermon, I call it the Gospel in 1 Minute. I want you to see it. Watch this for just 60 seconds.
God sends his Son into the world, the God-man, really man, really God, really human, really divine, lives a perfect life, fulfills the whole law, dies in the place of sinners intentionally, absorbs all the wrath of God against those who believe in him, takes away all their guilt, forgives all their sins, rises from the dead triumphant over death and hell and Satan, sins, rules with power from on high, will come again, give eternal life, raised from the dead, all those who trusted in him. There is no better news.
Amen. We're done. Right? If we can get that idea. The gospel is good news that changes your life. Think of a seed, that small, just unremarkable, yet bursting with life within it. Think of just a kernel of corn, a small little kernel of corn that placed into the ground will burst forth and will raise up 2, sometimes 3 heads of corn. On that corn stalk, you'll have those 2 or 3, and you pull back and you go, let's start counting. And all the number of kernels that are now giving life and have multiplied, they came out of one seed. That's what he can do with your life. And that's the gospel placed into your life in the right environment, in the right soil, and you water it and allow it to be nurtured by the Spirit of God, now to be watered by the Word of God, and it grows up into something beautiful. When the gospel is preached, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is not just words. It's not just what we have to endure to be a part of a church. It is life. It is eternal life. It is what is going to save us to all who believe. Now, I grew up in church. From the time I was young, in fact, I was an infant. I was in the toddler, they used to call it the cradle roll. That's how old I am. And when I would go back and preach at this church, there would be ladies in the church that would say, I changed your diaper. And I go like, I don't need to know this news. That lady finally died, and it was like I had mixed feelings at her funeral. No more did I was going to hear her tell me she changed my diaper, but then she was gone, and then, okay, there was just a weird feeling. But I grew up in church. I learned all the stories, all of them. Went to Sunday school, went to church. We even did midweek. We did Sunday night back in the day, and I learned it all. But when sports took over my life, and a youth pastor that was kind of abusive pushed me away, I forgot God, and I pursued another God, a small g God, in sports. And after my first year of college, I was on a college basketball scholarship and was playing, and one of my teammates was reading his Bible, big old hardback NIV. He's laying there in his dorm room, and I go, what are you reading? And I knew what it was, but I don't know why I said it like that. I grew up in the church. I knew the gospel. I knew all the stories. And I said, what are you reading? And Brian tells me, it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. He said, everything you want to know in life is found right here. Brian's comment to me, I can picture him right now. Brian's comment to me was the start of that seed that was going to grow into my life. I ended up in a major car accident just shortly thereafter. And on the side of the road, I said, Lord, I'm letting you be control of my life. Finally, I'm control of my life. And I began walking with him. And I began this time letting the gospel penetrate my heart, not just my head. I knew the stories as a kid, but it never really entered into my heart. And I let it, and I nurtured it, and allowed it to grow and to build up into my life. And the gospel offers forgiveness for every sin. It offers reconciliation with God to be right with him. Imagine owing somebody $10,000, and they say, and you feel all the time, every time you see them at a party, you go the other way because you're afraid what they're going to say, and then they come up to you and you say, hey, that 10 grand, no problem. It's already paid for. It's done. What? It's done. Reconciliation took place. That's what he's done with our sin. He's reconciled us with God. He's the promise of eternal life. It's the Christ's righteousness over our guilt. He puts his righteousness over our guilt, and he smothers it, and he takes it to himself. And that's where on the cross he said, it's paid in full. And he reached out and he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and died intentionally for you and I. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And this same gospel transforms one heart can be rejected by another, though. You can be in church and reject it, push back. You can sit in a sermon and never hear a single word. I know. I've done it. Tim Keller said, the parable of the sower challenges us to ask, what kind of soil am I? Am I letting pride, trials, or worldly cares choke the gospel? Jesus invites us to let his word take root, trusting him to produce fruit we could never achieve on our own. What kind of soil am I? What am I allowing in my life to push back? Men, the gospel speaks directly to our hearts, our hard hearts, our hearts that are filled with all kinds of other stuff, all busyness, all good stuff. It can be good stuff, and it's just filled with it. John Calvin said, the human heart is a perpetual idol factory, but the gospel can help penetrate that and can forgive you and can change you from this point forward. It's today you make the decision, no more. I am no longer going to roll over my heart and just say, out, Lord, you cannot penetrate my life. I don't have time for you. I don't have place for you. I don't have interest in you. I'm doing fine without you. Thank you very much. I'll just go on and act like I am. Maybe that's none of you. Girls, it's the same. It's the same with you. There's worries in this life. There's fears. There's abuses maybe you've experienced in the past, and you've pushed back. And the Lord wants to embrace that and wants to forgive you and wants to heal you and give you a new heart. And he will, and he can, but you can't push. You receive. So we see first that the gospel is that good news that can change your life. Now, let's look at our heart. Are we ready to receive the gospel? And this is the crux of this area. This is where he goes to in explaining, and he said in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, Satan, anytime you stand up and say, this is the word of God, the lights go out and then tries to snatch it away, right? It's when we make a decision, all of a sudden it looks like everything around us, the evil one wants to snatch that out of your life, wants to give you other things in your life. It's when you say, yes, Lord, I will do this. I'll take the word of God. I will. Now he wants to snatch that away. It comes and snatches away what's been hard. And he said that was what was sown along the path, the hard path. As for what was sown on the rocky road, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet has no root in himself and endures for a while, but when tribulation and persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. The third soil. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches have choked the word, and it proves unfruitful. And then finally, the good soil is one who hears the word, understands it, indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Now, Jesus describes these four soils, and he's telling, it's up to you, your hearts. Are they receptive? Are they cold? Are they turned back? Are they turned away? Do they receive what I'm giving to you? The great expositor, R.C. Sproul, said this: the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but it's not a magic formula that automatically transforms every hearer. The Holy Spirit must plow the soil of the heart for the seed to take root. So let's unpack this real quickly and see where our heart is. And the first soil, kind of soil, is a hardened path. You've seen those. I lived out in an area where there was a prairie. When I was in sixth grade, in seventh grade, I had to walk through a prairie, okay, where there's weeds and it's a low brush kind of thing. But there was a little path that has grown from years from where we used to walk to school uphill both ways, and had holes in my shoes, you know, the whole thing, right? But there was a path. There was a path that we'd go up to Roncalli Middle School, and we would walk this path, and it was the same path. But if you were to, there was vegetation on the right and on the left and all around, but there in the path, it was worn hard where people had walked. This is what he's talking about when that path, it's that hard pan packed down, the path where you walk, it's not easy to penetrate. And so when the seed comes and lands on that path, said the birds go, oh, there's lunch. And they go and they take the seed and devour it, it says. This is the kind of person who hears the gospel, but heart is hard. Has your heart ever been hard? All of us have at some point. Whether tragedy came, health issues, relationship problems, confusion, our hearts have been hard at some point. All of us. Okay, so just take it at that. Like we've all been there. But maybe you're there now. What is my response? Repentance. Repentance is what we turn away from, what is taking our attention, what has been the path, the hard path that we've followed, and it's turning back to the Lord. It's repentance. It's turning from whatever is taking away from it back to Christ. Repentance has a way of plowing up the hard pan. That's what it does. And it's daily repentance. It's ongoing repentance. It isn't like, yeah, I repented back in 1996. But it's like it's a daily ongoing thing. Men, pride is our downfall. Let's just call it what it is. It's our downfall. Pride. We are proud kind of species. All of us. At some point, we're proud. We want to hang on to something. I've got life under control. My job, my family, my plans. I met a successful realtor once and he said, hey, I'm providing for my family. I'm doing good in the community. I'm involved with the Rotary Club and serving there. I don't have time for religion. Success, self-reliance, self-satisfaction have a way of snatching the word of God from our life. But Satan wants to take away. Christ wants to give you a new heart. So the hard pan is the one. The second soil is The rocky ground were shallow towards Christ. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they did not have depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched. Now verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This is the kind of soil that is dirt on top, but rocky beneath. I have a neighbor just across the street, and one day he had this big, huge stone that was sitting on his driveway area. And I stopped him and I said, where did that come from? And he said, we dug it up. It was under the grass. We couldn't get the grass to grow. We didn't know what. We watered it. We fertilized it. We did everything. Everything right. And yet it would never grow right there in that one spot. So I decided to dig it up a little bit. And we found this boulder-sized thing under the grass. Well, that's what it's describing here. It's not describing a rocky road. It's talking about the rock is right underneath the dirt. And so immediately when it comes, it says it springs up. But when the sun comes down, when persecution, when tribulation, when things come in your life, then it doesn't have the root to go down and get the nourishment it needs, get the liquid it needs, gets the water that it needs to grow, and it dies. And this is our life. Sometimes we've got this rocky, we have a facade of good soil, but underneath, it's rock. It's rock. It's lying just beneath. Guy gets fired up at a retreat, something that's going on, says, I'm going to do this. I'm going for it. And just a few minutes later, they turn away. We're weak. Hey, this is admitted. Guys, we're weak. Ladies, we start comparing social media. We start looking at kids, our kids, and they're taking time and attention, and we just don't have time anymore. It looks receptive, but it's rocky underneath. Young people are vulnerable as well. It's like yes, I want to be a part of this. And then all of a sudden their friends start mocking and making fun of them. Why are you doing that? And they turn away, they wither up. It happens. This is the soil. He who began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6 says, will bring it to completion. He began the work in you. He will bring it to completion. You can't do it on your own. You've got to allow him to do the work, to dig up the hard pan underneath, to dig up the rock that's underneath, and allow the soil then to receive and to give life back. Well, the third one is the thorns. Other seed fell among thorns, and as the thorns grew up and choked them, verse 7, now verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Wow, this is so common with what's going on around us. Life gets busy. We live in a busy life. We live with all kinds of cares and concerns around us. We live with two income families because we're forced to provide for our family in this way, and we just don't have time. It just becomes busy, and cares of this world kind of choke it out. I hate weeds. I mean, I have this enemy called weeds, and I fight them every year, and I know if I get rid of the weeds, the grass will grow, but if I don't get rid of the weeds just grow on their own. And you know, that's true. I used to use Weed Man. It was one of my people who would come in and they would spray, and I felt like he said, you're not getting all the weeds. I'm having to come behind you and get the weeds. We were in Colorado. We had a Weed Man come through our neighborhood, but it was a different kind of Weed Man, altogether business. But the gospel calls us to repent. It calls us to repent. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. The gospel is like a treasure. And it says, what was it? A man sold all he had and he bought it. What is he saying? The gospel, the kingdom of God, is so valuable, it's more valuable than any other thing, any material wealth, any relationship, any pursuit, any goal. Said a man sold everything and he bought this. That's what it's worth. He's calling us and said, don't let the cares of this world, thorny, take away that which is good. So what's choking in your life? There's all kinds of things. But what's choking in your life? What's choking out your faith, the Word of God? What's choking you? Well, then there's the good soil. That's what we want, the good soil. Transformed by Christ. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100, some 60, some 30. As for what was sown on good soil, this is one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, another 30. And this is much larger than what would be a great thing of having 10-fold. 10-fold. Whoa, that's pretty good return on investment. And he's saying, no, it could be 100-fold, 60, 30. He's able to take that word and pour it in. In John 12, it says, if a seed falls into the ground and does not die, it remains alone. So the word of God comes into your life and it doesn't, you don't die to it. It doesn't allow it to get into the ground. You see, just the biology of this is a seed goes into the ground. It tears off, it disintegrates that outer shell. That outer shell is what's dying. And it opens up and it then begins to germinate and to grow. And it hits the surface of the ground and photosynthesis takes over and begins to grow this thing just mightily. He said, if that seed doesn't fall into the ground and die, it remains monos, non-reproductive, it remains alone, is the word. All alone. No fruit. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I want to bear much fruit. I want to bear much fruit. I don't want hang on to this. You don't take that seed and you're like, okay, here's the seed that's going to produce this great crop. And you don't put that in a frame and hang it on the wall. Go, look, there's my corn seeds right there. Isn't that beautiful? Go, like, it'd be a lot more beautiful if it was in the ground and producing as high as the elephant's eye on the 4th of July. It'd be more beautiful then, right? But you got it hanging on the wall. How dumb is that? And we are doing the same thing. We're taking the word and we go like, oh, it's precious. I put it on a mug. Put it in your heart. Let it penetrate into your heart and grow and become something. Picture your life with that good soil, a marriage reflecting Christ, your work that's honoring God, your kids are seeing Jesus, and your neighbors are envying not the size of your house and the quality of your car, but the size of your God and the quality of your faith. Let them see that coming out in your life. This good soil takes effort. Weeds, they grow on their own. You don't have to water them. You don't have to do anything. You just let them go and they grow. But good soil takes effort. And that effort is accomplished, listen to me, not by your white knuckling, but through the work of Christ in your life and the Spirit of God. But you have to allow it. You have to allow it to come into your life and bear fruit. Last thing I want to look at is that Jesus is the Savior seed and the sower. He's that Savior seed and sower. I've quoted this verse to you and wanted to get it, understand. He is the one who is the sower. And so that's why it's not the parable of the sower. The sower is Christ. It's not the parable of the seed. The seed is the word of God. But it's the soil now, and he's the one that produces and can produce that great crop in your life. He's that seed that's placed into the earth. You see, this verse is not talking about a natural seed, but it's talking about Jesus Christ, who, like that grain of wheat falls in the earth and dies, he went into the earth and died and was buried and was resurrected. He himself is the first fruits. We are the fruit as well of his work and his salvation, of his dying to self. And we can do the same in our life. We're called to do that same thing. He's calling us to do this, to bear fruit out of this life. And the difference between the soils isn't human effort, but it's Christ's work in us. He softens our hard hearts. He deepens our shallow ones. He uproots the thorns in our life, and he builds us. As you've received the Christ Jesus, the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him. Our fruitfulness comes from not ourself, our self-effort, but through Christ, his strength, not our strength. So we're called to lead. Men, we're called to lead. I'm thinking about at least an article, if not a book, called Faithful Till Death. Written to men, just saying like, be faithful to death. Be faithful all the way. Faithful till the end of your life, but be faithful to death. Like, I'm scared to death, be faithful to death. Be that kind of like, it's just, I'm willingly dying to self, and I'm gonna remain faithful in my home, in my work, in my church, in my community, in my neighborhood. I'm not giving up. There's an idol called comfort that attacks older men. There's an idol called pride that attacks younger men. But they both attack, and Satan, the evil one, wants to snatch the seed out of your life. Be faithful all the way. Faithful all the way. Ladies, let your beautiful heart not become bitter. Let your natural tenderness and nurturing not be turned in towards you and say, look at what I've got. Allow it to be grown. That's why I'm speaking to men today, because women have a natural, nurturing, loving, caring heart. But it can become brittle and bitter. Young people, you're trying to figure it out right now. Let the word of God penetrate your heart. Don't just know the stories. Father Abraham had many sons. I don't know any of their names. I know the songs, but you need to know the Savior. He's calling you to that. If you don't know Christ as Savior, none of this makes any sense. The Word of God can penetrate your heart, enter into it and change it and transform it if it's closed off to Christ. By faith, call on him. Through his grace, say, I don't deserve it. That's right. That's why it's called grace. It's a gift given to you. Receive it. And then let's live it and let his life pour into us, grow into us, build this crop of his fruitfulness. And that's true of this church as well. You see, we can't accomplish anything. Jesus said this, without me, you can do nothing. No thing. Not some things, not a little things. You can do no thing. Without me, you can do nothing. And he's calling us as a church and as individuals, as men, as women, as young people. to let the Word of God penetrate our hearts. Your soil, hard, superficial, there's a layer of bedrock underneath it. Thorny, all the cares of this world, and one of those cares can be sin in your life. It's just confusing. It's snatching away that which is good. And he said, let me transform you. Allow me to transform you. What that, the word means like this. Guys, you hate this word. Submit. We submit unto God. God's calling us to submit to him. Turn your life over to him. Say no more starting today. I don't care what happened yesterday or even this morning. Starting today, I'm going to let the Word of God penetrate my heart. I'm going to let a fruit grow to his glory and to his honor. And so, Father, we believe you, trust you, count on you. And we ask that you do this work in our life that we can't accomplish on our own. We cannot, but you can. So do the work, till up the ground. We repent as a way to cultivate that soil to be receptive to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that changes our life and changes forever, starting today, going forward. We pray in your name.